Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Well, first half of the show, I talk about trending on Twitter, and we'll get some phone calls in as well. Also, Fitzdog, Greg Fitzsimmons, is going to join us in studio. Always brings the comedy. First, I'll tell you about Pure Talk USA with AT&T, are you? Perhaps Verizon, maybe T-Mobile. Pure Talk USA uses the exact same network as they do. Same towers, same coverage, but literally cost half. I'm a customer. First thing is I wanted to keep my phone. They said, you keep your phone. They sent me a SIM card, and I get the same service as I did before for about half the price. Unlimited talk, text, 2 gigs of data, just $20 a month. Average person saves $400 a year. Why is it cheaper? Well, I'll tell you why. No retail stores or billion-dollar ad campaigns. You only pay for the data you need. U.S.-based customer service and CEO, I should say the CEO is a veteran, so he understands it. Grab your phone, dial #250, say the keyword Adam Carolla, save $250 off any iPhone, including the new iPhone SE. That's #250 and say Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Chris Myers. For more than 3 decades, I've covered some of the biggest events in sports and talked with some of the most fascinating personalities. But now I want to invite you to join me for my new podcast, CMI, the Chris Myers Interview on Podcast One. Covered a lot of events, World Series, Red Sox, White Sox breaking through at their time, the Super Bowl as recently as Mahomes and the Chiefs coming back against the 49ers. I was there to grab Brady after he had that tremendous comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and some tough times, the 89 earthquake World Series that rocked the Bay Bridge, and first to talk to O.J. Simpson live after both of his trials, and on the air through the 1996 Atlanta Olympic bombings, informing people as best we could at the time. We'll go in-depth on stories past, present, and future to the effect of the world of sports and everybody in and around it, from current athletes, Hall of Famers, and some people you and I know. Hope you tune in to CMI, the Chris Myers Interview, on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Greg Fitzsimmons. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, trendsetter, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice we've got on a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian. Well, we had some stuff to get into, and we'll still get into it, but I just walked out, and Max Zapata said I was trending on Twitter.
Yeah. So,
Mazel tov.
Yeah. Now, it can never be anything good, that's for sure.
Oh, it's you.
Oh, are they finally going to tell the story about the time I saved that puppy? I finally got to talk about that time I thwarted that bank robbery, or I should say purse snatcher in Santa Monica. Now, it's a vitriolic tweet that I sent out, I think, a couple days ago, but I can't remember. And it goes, well, Max Zapata has it. It goes to the tune of...
It turns out the people dying from COVID are old or sick or both. How many of you pussies got played? And who's going to get played the next time?
Yes.
This
Who is
going to
get played next time? Who's going to go all in next time? there's information to be had. If you're old, if you're sick, there's situations to be worked on. That doesn't explain why every hair salon is closed down and you can't eat inside a restaurant.
We do have breaking news on that, by the way.
Oh, good. I live in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is like East Berlin at this point. And I don't like my kids staying home for school. They should go to school. They're fine. They're young. It doesn't affect them. And they're not living with elderly grandparents. So here's the deal. Kids are fine. Kids should go to school. If they live with Nana and Papa, then maybe they shouldn't go to school. That's how I approach life. But I don't approach life of everything is shut down. There is no school. You have to wear a mask on a hiking trail. You can't lay down at the beach. You can get a haircut, but you have to do it out on the sidewalk. That doesn't make sense to me. What you heard is 6 months of being frustrated that we're not doing things that make sense. Being locked up is not the way to do it. Taking measures is the way to do it. First things first, nursing homes. Secondly, any elderly, pre-existing conditions. Masks, fine. Wear masks, and then go in and get your hair cut. I've done it. I've done it in San Antonio. I've done it in Houston. You go in, you wear the mask. They cut your hair. They wear a mask, you wear a mask. When they do your sideburns, you peel it off and you hold it up with one hand, and they do that side, and then you rehook it and you do it the other. I'm talking about this fucking hysteria that we've turned into. We've turned into hysterics. It's not going to work. Big picture. It scares the shit out of the kids. I mean, my daughter, my son won't, but my daughter may have a little PTSD. I mean, there may be a lot of 7-year-olds that end up with a little dusting of PTSD because of this parents fucking wringing their hands and running around thinking the sky was falling and we're all going to die. So, but no one appreciates being called a pussy. I get it. And also, I think the backlash has to do with ostensibly being right in many cases. I know I was just watching Nancy Pelosi get her hair done the other day. And
I thought of Lori Lightfoot and what she should just say. Look, I'm in the spotlight. You're not.
Well, the thing about Nancy Pelosi, she's getting her hair done and she's not wearing a mask, and that's fine. I got my hair cut and I didn't wear a mask. That's fine, too. It's totally consistent. But what if you were really fearful of this? And what if we're making a movie about a pandemic? I mean, Nancy Pelosi is 80 years old. What if there was what if she was really fearful? I don't think she'd engage in that behavior. See, my thing is I don't think she's that fearful of it. If she was that fearful of it, I don't think she'd go inside a salon with no mask. I don't think she's that fearful of it. I think she's trying to convince you to be that fearful of it, but I don't think she's that fearful of it. And that's the disconnect for me. That's the problem with me. It's the extra fear. It's not that it isn't real. It's not that it doesn't harm people. It's the extra fear part. I feel like they're saying one thing and doing something else because they know the truth. And the truth is, it's bad, but it's not what they say it is. This notion that it's equally distributed amongst young people and old people is that obviously a super scary thought that has been sort of pushed through society for the last 6 months. So anyway,
obviously, that's way more nuanced than anyone can get into it. A tweet, you know, you're limited by the space or whatever.
Yeah, but
yeah, go ahead.
But no, I stand by everyone being pussies.
Well, to that point, I think the blowback is, I mean, do you have enough self-awareness to see how it can be callous
It's callous. It's totally callous. And shutting down businesses kills people. It's callous. And what you're destroying an economy and having kids not go to school and having families arguing over taking your shoes off, that ruins families, ruins societies, ruins economies. Yes, what I said is callous. Tough shit. We're living in a callous world. You guys want to fucking close down society? You're going to get some callous tweets. That's how it works. So I don't give a shit. Basically, you can't cancel me. I'm already canceled. Like I'm not working in that world anyway. I'm not doing sitcoms.
These mics don't even work.
They're not hooked to anything.
I can see the end of the cord. It's frayed and it's dangling. like Bubba Watson's garage door opener. So, no, I don't care, but people are upset. There's an Onion article that's out already that,
that was quick.
That Dawson has.
Well,
Dateline Los Angeles. Just 2 weeks after settling on Adam Carolla as its next host, a Los Angeles area hookworm whose life cycle depends on the performance of a comic's personality's digestive system said it is beginning to question Carolla's ability to stay fresh and produce consistent quality nutrients on a daily basis. It doesn't take much to be a decent host. You just have to sit there, generate a couple cell lines every few minutes, and let me systematically tunnel my way through your internal organs, said the Necator Americanus hookworm, a 10-millimeter-long nematode parasite of the Entamoeba family from Carolla's small intestine on Tuesday. I've been trying to suck the life out of Adam, but it's difficult when there's absolutely no life to work with, it added. The hookworm first came into contact
with
Carolla.
Well, this is not a true story, is it? So I got to call Drew if this is true.
You
got to
report all sides. Why didn't we read the headline? The headline's the best part, like any Onion article.
Oh, yeah. Where's the head? I haven't seen it.
My
so
bad.
I just heard this.
The headline is, Parasite Regrets Choosing Adam Carolla as Host.
And I should let the Onion retweeted this article. It's actually written in 2006, but they tweeted it again 30 minutes ago.
So they're just, it's been on Earth.
It's not fresh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an 06 article?
It's an 06 article that I'm seeing it, and but they retweeted it or retweeted it again 30 minutes ago.
Oh.
Hey, it's timely.
It is. It's timeless, I would say.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's weird. It sounded oddly familiar with this parasite thing, but there it is. So now I'm trending because I'm an asshole, and then the celebrities are angry.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're really backing August into a corner for guest bookings.
I know. Yeah, but does anyone care what celebrities think anymore? I mean, they used to use them a lot.
Apparently.
People listening to this show, I would imagine.
Politically, things like that. Well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, politically. Let's see. Who's trending? What do we got?
All right,
angry celebrities.
Here's some of the tweets. Now, a lot of them, as I said, were to you before the show. It's universal criticism. Mainly because of the way you spelled pussies.
I know. It's I-E-S, right?
Yeah. But that's good. That's how we know it's your tweet.
But here
that's
we go.
What I do. They're Easter eggs.
So yeah. George Takei says, Corona karma is real, Adam, and you just tempted it to grab you by your pussy ass.
That's an 86-year-old man.
Strong
throw
words.
It down.
How old is George Takei? Or Takei? Wait a minute. Takei.
Takei.
Yeah.
It means expensive.
Mm-hmm.
He's 83.
That's an old man. He's using foul language.
God
love. Ooh.
You can just run through this. You can run through the celebs.
All right. Leah Thompson, Brian Koppelman, Adam Goldberg, Jillian Barbary, Christopher Titus, Bradley Whitford had a lot to say. Colin Hanks, Don Cheadle, Valerie Bertinelli.
All right. What's Bradley Whitford have to say?
180,000 dead. I know several of them. Not all were old or sick. This disease is ravaging our most vulnerable communities.
A minute. That's our most vulnerable. Yes.
People are risking their lives to care for them. My sister is a retired nurse. You're a comedian using a pandemic to get attention for your stupid career. Translation. I want attention. Me at Adam Carolla. Over here.
Get that drop. Please.
Wait a minute. How about answering the comedian? Isn't that you drawing attention to yourself?
That's a good point.
I mean, come on. You could have just let it be a ship in the night. I'm not interested in trending. I never have been.
Yeah.
I just say shit that I think. That's what I think. And by the way, I'm sticking to it. A lot of people got scared needlessly. Now, a lot of people needed protection, but it was in those groups. We didn't all have to. You know, here's the whole thing. We needed to wear, theoretically, I mean, we'll see even how the science bodes out with this. You were going to go into a Trader Joe's, then you should have put a mask on. If you're going to walk down a horse trail, then you shouldn't have put a mask on. See, if you are old, then you should worry about this. If you're young, then you shouldn't worry about it unless you live with old people or have contact with old people. So this is the nuance of it. This is what I'm trying to explain. The one-size-fits-all lockdown, I'm pretty consistent. I don't like seeing the elderly or children being patted down at the airport security. It's not to say that we don't need airport security. It's that we need to be a little more focused. Mm-hmm. Focus on the group that may take down the plane, not the elderly woman you're helping out of her wheelchair or the young 9-year-old you're patting down. This is my thing in life. And then everyone goes, well, what's wrong with patting down everyone at the airport? And it's like, well, that's fine, but I don't want to live in that society. It's tough to run a society. It's like, what's wrong with locking down and sheltering in place? Nothing, except for all the people that are trying to fucking run businesses that have lost their savings and are out of a business. And all the people that aren't employed. And all the depression. And all the anxiety. And all the suicides. And all the overdoses. What's wrong with it? Nothing, except for all the shit. All the byproduct that comes from it. All the negative byproduct of all the kids not going to school, all the families fighting, all the stress, and all the fear. That's what's wrong with it. You do it in a more measured way, you might be able to pull it off in a more accurate way. Instead of a shotgun approach, a little more of a sniper's approach. But yes.
This is a terrible apology, Adam.
Yeah, nice, yeah.
I'm not
nice
fucking apologizing to any of you assholes. And by the way, you don't accept apologies. That's what I figured out from these people anyway.
So here's, okay, help me work this out, because here's the logic problem I can't get around. 100 and what are we up to? 182, 100, whatever it is, 180-something thousand, the vast majority of which, like we've established, are older or have some comorbidity, something going on. So that's 165,000. How did they get sick? They certainly weren't going out to. You would have to presume that people who are older and or know they're higher risk because of their comorbidity are like me, staying home or not traveling out to the public areas too much. So, how are they getting sick if not from people, younger people, healthy people, people in their sphere, just coming around, and eventually they're going to get them with a asymptomatic coronavirus?
Yeah. Well, that's going to happen. I mean, a lot of it is if you're in a nursing home and somebody gets it and comes into a nursing home, then it spreads around the nursing home. So there's a lot of that. It's not all that. Yeah, you're going to get it. It's in society. It's loose in society. I mean, it's definitely going to happen. And there's ways to try to mitigate that. I don't think it's about closing schools. That's all. Look, here's the deal. You could definitely... You will save more people if you lock everything down, possibly. I don't even know now how the data is coming in on the full lockdowns. So there's things that suggest places that lock down may not have done as well, but it's all going to come out in the wash one day. I'm not saying you wearing a mask, locking down, closing businesses, closing schools. I'm not saying we wouldn't save people. We definitely would save people. We make calculations as a society. And the calculations we make as a society is what is a risk versus reward? X amount of elderly people, X amount of people with pre-existing conditions, X amount of healthy people dying because you chose to do this or not do that. That it's a societal thing. What are the ramifications of wrecking an economy? That has huge ramifications health-wise as well. So the question isn't, you know, couldn't we save more if we did more? We could definitely save more if we did more. And now you get into this morbid thing of like, well, how many people's acceptable? Right. And that's what you end up arguing over. And then you have to start looking at, well, what's the flu claim, or what have other pandemics claimed? And you have to sort of dance around that and make your calculations. I would never argue that more wouldn't save more. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but God's honest, if everyone wore a helmet when they drove their car, we'd save a lot of people driving. But you go, I don't want to do that. I feel it's infringing on my freedom or this society.
Seems like a step too far.
Yeah. So you're right in that we could save more people if we did more. I think we'd all agree that we're in L.A., we're doing the most. If you talk to most sort of normal, look, everyone I know has gotten besides Bald Brian, everyone I know has gotten three haircuts during this pandemic.
Bastard.
I've got two in Texas and one or two out here. So everybody I know, every male I know especially, female I don't follow as closely, but everyone I know is getting bootleg haircuts. Everyone is going out, having people come into their home, going into shops where they keep the curtains down low and getting their haircuts. They're engaging in this behavior. People are going to engage in this behavior. I mean, my daughter, who took it more seriously than anyone on the planet, was also having slumber parties, you know, a month and a half into this thing. So first things first, this whole, like, lock it down. You can't tell people not to. Nancy Pelosi's getting her hair done. You can't tell people not to do it. They're going to do it. I think we do it in a realistic and sober kind of way. But the notion of lock everything down until there's zero possibility of anyone being infected, it's not. Societies don't work that way. Societies make choices. They make choices with deaths per million miles traveled. They make choices with wars. They make a lot of hard choices. I mean, that's really what our society, and nobody said nobody's going to die. There's always going to be people that are going to die from a myriad of different things. This is one of them. All right, let's see. Someone wants to talk about my logic. Darren, 50, Seattle.
Hey, Ace, how you doing, my friend?
Good. What's going on?
So, I was just looking at your tweet and listening to the banter here back and forth. And, you know, I mean, I think you've got some fair arguments here. But I'm curious as far as the logic is concerned regarding, like, let's say the helmet analogy that you were using, wearing a helmet in your car. That to me, I don't give two shits if you wear helmets. I don't care if you wear a fucking stocking cap. I don't care what you wear in your car. I don't care if you're going boating and whether you wear a life jacket or not. I literally don't care because it doesn't impact me or my family. The irresponsible, I think where I'm asking about the logic is the folks that aren't doing the right thing for, you know, we keep talking about choices of a society and it seems like we're getting in this pissing contest about doing the right thing for society.
Yeah, and I agree. It's not an apples to apples comparison. Now, some people do, and it's an argument for, like, helmet laws on a motorcycle. They go, we got to have a helmet. And then they go, it's my choice whether to wear a helmet. And some people go, yeah, but what about you get into an accident and then we got to come scrape you up and who's going to pay, you know, if you're not insured, who's going to pay for your stay in the hospital and the ambulance ride and all that kind of stuff. And I agree.
My brain doesn't end up on the pavement because he's not wearing a helmet, I guess is my point.
Right. You know
what I mean? I'm a former EMT, so I mean, I've done some brain surgery.
Look, I'm a former prosecutor. So, Darren, here's the thing. We have a balance, then. We have to strike a balance. And the balance must be your personal freedoms and the way you approach your personal freedoms and or safety, and then society, and then how your personal freedoms pertain to society. So drunk driving is frowned upon because it's not just you're endangering, but you could be endangering others, right? But
there's also punishment for that.
Right. There's punishment for it. But we don't outlaw drinking and we don't outlaw having one beer in driving. Do you know what I'm saying? Like we have a sort of nuanced approach to it. So maybe this is a decent example, which is you may drink at home and you may walk around your own property. Maybe you may back your car down your driveway. But once you get into the street, then you're sort of becoming our problem. But you could have one beer at a Christmas party, or maybe a couple of glasses of wine, and legally and relatively safely drive home. So then using this analogy, then I would say it's not we're closing the school down. It's you can go to the school, but wear a mask. Or you may do this. You may open the salon, but the booths need to be 6 foot apart. That is sort of like saying, now, what we're kind of saying in L.A. is no drinking, just no drinking. And what I'm saying is what if I can have a beer safely and then I can drive? Meaning, what if I can go in the salon but maintain the distance? And we have a mayor and a governor who's just basically saying, I said no drinking. That's kind of pushback.
I mean, it's a cute analogy. I don't know that I buy into it 100%.
What don't you buy into?
I can run down that road, but I got one last question. I was just telling your screener there that, one of the benefits of working from home is I can do some fuck around time like right now, but I do have a meeting in 10 minutes. But I've got a question for you on, here's my biggest problem with this, Ace, and it seems like we missed the window at the get-go, because had we done it appropriately, i.e. the majority of Europe, i.e. the majority of Eastern Asia, they've dialed it in to the point that, to your point, now let's focus on the hot spots. Now we can come in tactically with that surgical knife and cut it out. But it seems the blowhard reach around hand jobs that everybody's been doing during this whole fucking thing has, we've just missed the window. And so now we're having these conversations about going to a haircut. I agree. It's crazy. However, it's like, well, we missed the window so badly.
All right. I guess. I don't know. I'm gonna wait and look at a lot of data, because, yes.
That's the interesting thing. Talk about it, depending on the way you look at it, from our perspective, because we have nothing to compare it to, we locked down. We locked down pretty good. You know, things were shut. But from other people's perspective, they look at LA and like, well, you didn't really lock down. You know, like, I work in a newsroom and I was given Department of Homeland Security credentials because we didn't know what was going to happen in case literally my neighborhood was barricaded. I'd be able to get out and go to the newsroom. We are prepared for anything and everything, but it never really got locked down in that way. So it's such an interesting perspective, just depending on where you're standing.
Well, we locked down pretty good, and then we kind of had a big flare up and then sort of locked down, double secret probation. And now, now it's dissipating. I don't know. My point is this is my opinion, and I'm sharing it with anyone who cares to hear my opinion. That's the way I feel. I don't know when that, look, you people are entitled to panic and I'm entitled to not panic. That shall be my position in this. And I'm allowed to critique your panicking, and you're allowed to critique my non-panic. Does that seem fair? Finette, 39, Utah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it's ridiculous that you're even trending because of what you said. You have a right to say the point of view of where you're coming from. I understand that. I have RA. I have an immune system deficiency. It's my responsibility to keep myself safe. I don't think that it's the rest of the world's responsibility that are healthy and fine to protect me.
Well, there is an element of that, which is if you are at risk, that a lot of that falls on you. A lot of that is going to be, you're going to have to engage in life differently than my 14-year-old twins are, because they're not in that group.
And the elderly that are dying, most of them right now are dying because they don't have their family. They don't have the interactions that they're having. I have two kids that work in the nursing home. They're fully protected. They go in every time they go to work. They're screened, temperature taken, everything. All the measures are taken, and the elderly are dying in there. And it's because they're cut off from their family, the world, the stimulation of it all.
Yeah, it's sad to die alone, and that's another weird byproduct of all this stuff. You know, my whole thing is this. There's a whole bunch of negative byproduct that comes from we must lock down. Now, there's a financial byproduct that's kind of easy to see because it's up in everyone's face. But then there's another byproduct, which is depression, loneliness, substance abuse, people that were AA people who wanted to meet with a community of people, or religious people, or people that had a lot of faith or whatever. Elderly people not being able to visit. You know, there's a byproduct to lock it all down. There's a big byproduct. And by the way, that byproduct is the gift that keeps giving, because You don't just bounce back if you had a business and the business is shut down and you're financially strapped. You don't just open up and then hit the ground running. That could be a long road. So there's a lot of negative byproduct that affects millions of people that needs to be factored in. That's what I'm saying. Factor it in. Don't just wave a wand and tell everyone to stay home. All right. Let's see. There's one more. Let's see. Underlying someone. Was that David from Boise, Idaho?
No, you just talked to Finette.
Oh, yeah. But am I David from
line
Boise,
three,
Idaho?
Line three.
Thank you. David, 48, from Boise, Idaho?
Yes.
What is your comment?
Yes. I read your tweet about the everybody being played, and I'm pretty offended by it. I'm 48 years old, disabled veteran, extremely healthy, except for the fact that 19 months ago I broke my jaw, and the VA put a plate in that was infected or had bacteria on it that gave me an infection. I've been on antibiotics for 19 months, and they told me if I get COVID, I have no immune system right now. I'm going to die. So I think that you're oversimplifying this, and I think that you're
taking it oversimplifying to a level that is,
You're saying it's okay for me to die. I'm a single father.
Well, first off, I never said your name. I was thinking it, but
I didn't say
said my name. You made a general accusation that it was these people are going to die anyway. I'm not going to die just because of an infection. But if I get COVID, I'm going to die.
Well, how do you know? How do you know you wouldn't die from the flu?
How do I know I wouldn't die from the flu? I've been getting flu shots since they started coming out. I've never had the flu in my life, so.
But you could catch the flu. If you caught the flu, would that kill you?
Who knows?
Yeah.
But
right.
I know
well,
that
who knows?
COVID would kill me.
You know that definitively? I mean, there's a lot of...
That's what I've been told.
Right. Well, that's what we've all been told. That's kind of my pushback.
That's not what everybody's being told. I was specifically
told. Well, we're originally told if we got it, we're going to get it. I mean, it's going to be bad. And then I started noticing a lot of people I'd heard about getting it and getting through it, and some not even knowing they had it. So that's where I formed my opinion.
Well, I never heard this, if you get it, you're going to get it bad. I've always heard that, you know, there's a 4% death rate from it, 3.4% to 4% death rate.
Well, initially, the reason people
anybody were... say that, oh, if you get it, you're going to die or you're going to get it bad.
Well, that's what the story was initially, which is why people were so frightened that it would be death or something close to it. They're still talking a lot about that.
Well, I hear people saying things like, oh, I need to protect myself. Well, I do protect myself.
How? Okay, good. You got
to
protect yourself.
Get groceries and everything also, because I'm a single father with three kids.
Are you a veteran?
So if other
hey,
people
David,
aren't
how'd you break your
me,
jaw?
Then they're disrespecting me, my life.
All right. What, it's a lot of narcissism in this pandemic. What
Adam is trying to say is thank you for your service.
Narcissism. This isn't just about me. There's plenty of other people out there that are like me.
How'd you break your jaw?
How'd I break my jaw? I had been in a car accident and my neck had gotten some, or my neck had some nerves that were pinched, and it made me pass out, and I fell down and on the kitchen floor and broke my jaw.
All right, so David, thank you for your service, and no one is trying to kill you. We're trying to balance opening society versus killing David. That's my argument. I don't think going to a hair salon or eating indoors is going to be harmful to you. But yes, you are more vulnerable than most, and so you must take precautions, and society must take precautions as well. But that doesn't mean society shuts down. That just means they take precautions.
I never said society should shut down. I'm saying that people should wear masks in places where you can't social distance or where...
Yes. Everyone agrees with that.
Yeah. Well, not everyone agrees with that.
Most, I've been on Twitter recently.
Most agree. Most agree with that.
Unless your name's Karen.
Yes.
Or Kevin.
Most agree with that. You're always going to see the outliers, but I'd say most people agree with that.
Well, and David, just to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this may have been part of your point, that we live, you know, essentially from where we're standing in the future. You know, we live in 2020. So whether you have a bacterial infection or, high cholesterol or high blood pressure, in 2020, that's not something that should kill you. So I think that some of the fear is like, well, you can call that an underlying condition. You know, like, I think there's a vast difference between Brian having a brain tumor and, say, me having, is this the first you're hearing of it? And me having high cholesterol. If Gina died from COVID, they could say, yeah, but she had an underlying condition. Well, fuck, that's not supposed to kill me. You know,
well, also something we're not really talking about, because we're always talking about vaccines or cures or herd immunity. Dr. Drew says they've learned a lot about treating this. They have a lot of remedies, to put it as a layperson. And you got a much better shot of being treated if you come down with it now versus 4 or 5 months ago when they had no idea what was going on.
They put you on a ventilator and hope for the best. There was nothing else.
So he says they are doing pretty good in that department. So we'll keep you posted. Is Fitzdog here yet?
Not yet.
Coming in?
Yeah.
All right, let me hit ButcherBox here. This sponsor, this episode, is brought to you by ButcherBox. This stuff, you want to talk about high-grade protein, delicious, 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork, wild-caught seafood, sourced from folks who go above and beyond, caring for animals, the environment, and how to sustain the environment as well, and the animals. Average cost, less than $6 per meal. Olga does the burgers. She does the chicken. She does the pork chop, old school pork chops, by the way. Got some fat on there. Very flavorful. You can work out whatever delivery options you want, frequency to fit your needs. Cancel anytime. No penalty. And ground beef for life is back for a limited time. New members get 2 pounds of free ground beef in every order by signing up today at butcherbox.com/Adam. This is better than it needs to be, people. That's butcherbox.com/Adam, and you can get the free ground beef for life. You got to mash up Dawson with the, we were talking about the Poseidon Adventure and Kimberly Is it Guilfoyle?
Guilfoyle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening, America. I'm Kimberly Guilfoyle. Your choice is clear.
There's got to be a morning after.
When you are in trouble and need police,
if we can hold on through the night,
don't count on the Democrats.
We have a chance to find the sun.
I know how dangerous their socialist agenda is.
Let's keep on looking for the light.
Just take a look at California.
Oh, can't you see the morning after?
The Democrats turned it into a land of discarded heroin needles in parks, riots in streets, and blackouts in homes.
Why don't we cross the bridge together?
They want to destroy this country
and find the place that's safe and warm.
Do you think America is to blame?
It's not too late.
They want to enslave you to the weak, dependent, liberal, victim ideology to the point that you will not recognize this country or yourself.
It's not too late.
America, it's all on the line. President Trump believes in you. You are capable. You have the ability to choose your life and determine your destiny. Don't let the Democrats take you for granted. Don't let them step on you. Don't let them destroy your families, your lives, and your future. You can achieve your American dream. You can be that shining example to the world. Ladies and gentlemen, leaders and fighters for freedom and liberty and the American dream, the best is yet to come.
You want another life? Then take me!
Dawson, that is your piece de resistance.
I'm fired up, man.
That was awesome, man. Got to do more of those. That was awesome. All right. Fitzdog is coming in. Says we can talk about his old boss, Ellen.
Oh.
Which is interesting because, yeah, now I know what it's like to trend in the negative department with Ellen.
You and her are going to be pictured together in a luxury box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ellen and George W.
Yeah, because talking to Fitzdog off the air was some of how I'd sort of built my composite of Ellen through some personal experience, but also some discussions with people that had worked with her. And one of my conversations was with Fitzdog. All right. He's here. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Fitzdog right after this.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from HDS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for another ballsy month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes two Vinnie Tortorich approved and invented ultra fat instant energy packs so you don't reach for that donut. Four shot glass ice molds so you can keep your whiskey cold and straight down the hatch. A bottle of Chateau Spill to remove wine stains or blood from the fine silk you're donning. Of course, a bottle of your choice. And the coup de grace, a digital download of the very first basic cable commentary, Roadhouse. This $60 value can be yours for only $25 at CorollaDrinks.com. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, love the show, love everybody there. Just thought you might want to know, there's a park right down the street from my house. During this COVID crap for the past few months, they've had it all roped off with the caution tape. Well, it must have been taken down several times. I drive by today. The basketball courts, the hoops have been removed. Just the latest in the dance of the tards. Bye.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, at a certain point, then it just becomes a battle. It's not whether it's safe or unsafe. It's a battle of, I told you you couldn't play basketball, and you're going, fuck it, I'm playing basketball, and now we're going to unbolt the hoops. Ugh.
Is it the one place you'd want people to be is outside at the park? I mean, not necessarily all hitting the same tether ball, but like, just get them outside.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We were talking about this the other day, because he's right about the basketball hoops, and we had a little discussion about whether there's a racial component to this, because guess who's in full effect? The league softball games in Beverly Hills, or at least on the when we were driving, we're like, they're all in uniforms and they got people watching them and they're allowed to play, but the basketball hoops have been taken down.
That's right. And also, welcome, Fitzdog.
Thanks, buddy.
Remember 10 minutes ago we had some politician maybe out of New Jersey explaining that it was okay to play tennis but not doubles tennis, but if you wanted to play singles tennis you had to keep a court in between you and tennis balls.
You have to wash your own
balls. This is what I'm talking about. Thank God I never listened to any of these people. It's insane. Remember touching things? Well, don't you kick the tennis ball to your opponent. You don't pick it up. Okay, what happened to all that science? Good to see you, Fitzdog.
Nice to be here. Oh, boy. Yeah. Hey, now.
Sunday Papers is the podcast. Fitzdog Radio is well available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. The YouTube channel, Greg Fitzsimmons, is where you can go for that. Have you been doing stand-up? Have you been traveling at all?
I've done one show in 5 months. It was at a some kind of studio in North Hollywood. They had me come down. Tom Papa. You know Tom Papa. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, there was 15 people in the audience, and it was like sex. It was like jerking off. It was
better.
So good. Yeah. I was so much more in control. Mm-hmm. Only had to worry about my own needs up there.
Yeah.
No, but it was great. It was just like I have so much material that's built up from 5 months.
Yeah.
And to be able to, and like the people in the audience were so happy to be able to see a live comedy event that they were just giving it up. And it was really fun.
How did that work with Tom Papa in this space? I've traveled around. I've done shows sort of with the half capacity.
Yeah.
And I've done like a virtual show at the Laugh Factory, which was very weird.
Yeah.
That one didn't really work. I've done some stuff from my own house that kind of worked. But
stand up from your house?
I was doing Adam Carolla's Unprepared at home, and so we just people like
right.
tweet in
okay.
suggestions, and I just freeform it in my living room, and that worked pretty well. But what was this space with Tom Papa in North Hollywood?
Well, it was pretty big, and it was high ceilings, and everybody wore a mask unless you were performing. And they gave each comedian there was like a sponsor of a microphone company. So everybody got their own microphone, and you got mm-hmm. to bring it up and then take it home with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people kept their distance. And the other great thing was just seeing other comics. Like, I miss that. I miss being backstage at the clubs and shooting the shit. And, you know, it's a brotherhood.
But, yeah. Well, with some. Not all.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are douches, but.
Yeah, there's some douches out there.
But yeah, it's a scene. It's going yeah. somewhere. It's being a part of something.
Yeah.
It's having a little sense of camaraderie.
Right.
It's also a little, you know, I think what people realize or maybe don't realize is it's always a little sense of the unknown. And when you walk out on stage and you're before this person or after that person or in this room or in that room or in this city or in that city, it's kind of the reason why I like racing cars. It's a big question marks, unknown,
yeah, right.
not sure. Don't know how this is going to go for
That's
sure.
Right. Yeah,
I'm skilled. I think it's going to go well, but there are no fucking guarantees.
Yeah,
and there's an element that in life, it's kind of important. I think it's why people like, you know, they like dating versus year 22 of a marriage, you know, it's just a little element of how big are those areolas? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Sometimes you do. I mean, if a girl's got a little extra girth on her
mm-hmm.
and I look at the ears, if they have big ears, this sounds weird,
right?
But I've found areola and ears to match, not exact size. It's not the areola is not the size of
right.
the ears,
but you've done it. You've done a little bit of R&D in it.
I've done a lot of R&D. Yeah.
So that element of walking out on stage and not exactly knowing how it's going
well,
to go.
Well, and there's a lot of things
night.
That you evaluate. You look at how many people, how old are they, how are they laughing at the other comics, how's the sound, how's the lighting, is it a Friday night late show, is it a full moon, which I'm not kidding you, makes a huge difference.
Really?
Full moons are... Get ready for some heckling and some crazy shit to happen.
Really?
All the time.
Is it a physical thing? Like they talk about a gravitational pull that's just enough?
I think it's because this is what I've heard, because I've heard that inmates in prisons and insane asylums, they go, well, you know, Luna.
Yeah.
Right. Means going loony bin.
Crazy.
Right, right.
And it's because your body is mostly water, and that when the moon is that big, it has an effect on your water in your body.
Mm.
That's what I've heard. And I really don't think that this is like a, you know, a made up thing. I really think that the moon. Do you feel different during a full moon? I think it was a full moon last night.
It was.
It was.
I mean, there's an element of it in that it's, you know, I'm always kind of looking for the side kind of Freakonomics end of things. Like,
yeah.
Well, it's lighter. It's a lot lighter outside. So then maybe people go outside more and engage in behaviors that they normally might not do.
Right.
Attempt to do things that they might not do in the evening or something. And maybe there's something to that.
Yeah.
Maybe there's also just a sort of lore, like a full moon and a werewolf, and it's our witching hour. You know, it's kind of what people do with tequila versus gin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're both 80 proof. They're both, you know, 40% alcohol. But if people do a shot of tequila versus a shot of gin, they go, I just did tequila. Right. I'm getting wild.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe there's some of that also with some physiological.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, there's so many factors that go into it, and that is really the fun. It's like being a sailor. You know, it's like, what's the wind? Mm-hmm. What's the current? What's the fucking...
Right, and when you push off, you don't know if you're going to run into that Category 4 storm or not.
Right.
Like, you really just have no idea.
And what's the sailor that pink skies
Red
at night?
Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailor's warning.
Ah, right.
That is a song, too, by The Cure? No, not The Cure.
Really?
Oh, you don't know Red Sky at Night?
Uh-uh.
The Fix. Sorry. The Fix. By the way, their album was called Reach the Beach.
Ooh.
So they're very nautically themed.
Very nautical.
That they have Red Sky at Night. It was like their big hit. I don't know if it was attached to...
Well, the big hit was One Buoy Leads to Another.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
Well, what about the guy who has this amazing fucking woman who is like the most beautiful woman in town? And he says to her, what a good wife you would be.
Oh, Brandy.
Brandy.
Yeah.
But my love, my life, and my lady is the sea. I got a theory on Brandy. Not that hot.
No.
I think they build her up in the song, but ultimately, a life of puking over the side of the ship.
Yeah. Brandy was also, you know, cocktailing at a pretty shitty dive restaurant in a port, you know. If she was a 9, she'd be a receptionist at a big time, you know, working for a producer or something like that. She wouldn't be hustling down at the ports of call down in Long Beach, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's got a history. Yeah. She's got her arms are thick.
Right.
I love where Greg's going with this, because the sea life is all about mythology, right? Like, you're drunk and you're like, I saw a mermaid or I saw a siren, you know, and it's always born out of drunkenness.
Yeah.
And also, if she's so hot, why is she waiting for this guy? He goes away for like 9 months at a time.
Yeah.
And nothing else for a girl this hot.
And also, guys used to be a lot more straight up with a woman back in the day. Like, the guy, half the songs I heard in the 70s were like, look, the sex was awesome, but I'm a rambling man.
That's right.
So you know it.
Yeah.
I know it. So I'll bang you one more time, but come first sun, I'm rambling.
Yeah.
Now look, good news. I might come back and fuck you again in 9 to 13 months. But I am, in fact, a rambling man. And this guy would come back off his ship and go, hey, straight up, you need to know this about me. You're fine. And you'd make a fine wife, but not for this sailor.
Yeah.
Because my love and my lady's the sea.
The sea.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a wife to have.
Also, you gotta think about the other fellas on board when his lady is the sea. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's going to be some bunk swapping.
Right.
Or you're two-time adventure.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Brandy is his way of showing his parents that he's not off skull fucking another sailor on the high seas. No. Look at Brand. You know, me and Brandy got this thing once a year. I can fake a stiffy for her.
Red Sky at Night, is it by The Fix?
Sailor's Delight.
Oh.
They don't say that part, but they...
It's implied.
They do talk about this part, and the album is called Reach the Beach.
Mm. No, I think...
They do get another song called Overboard.
This isn't Reach the Beach
This
album?
Is from Shuttered Room, their debut album.
Oh, do they have one called Reach the Beach, or their next one is called
there
Reach the
There is an
the
album.
Beach.
That's where One Thing Leads to Another was from, Reach the Beach, yes.
Oh, okay. You guys know this one?
Shit me? This with headphones on, cranked up? Couple of Michelob lights under your belly.
Oh, yeah, I think, you know what? I used to screen calls at K-Rock at the flashback lunch, and we'd play this sometimes.
Yeah, flashback lunch. The salad flashback of lunch days. Yeah, so they have one called Overboard. That next album's called Reach the Beach, and they got Red Skies at Night. So there's some nautical theme.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the guys from The Fix, like his dad who, you know, was a merchant marine or something. All right. Anyway, Fitzdog, thoughts on Ellen DeGeneres?
Oh, boy. I knew it would come up.
Well,
somehow I knew it would come
somebody
up.
Somebody said you were okay
I was a former employee, and it has come up on this show because I know you have feelings about the situation. And I, in fact, signed a non-disclosure agreement while I worked there. So for the last, we're going back 14 years since I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I've not talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's been 14 years since you've been there?
13.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I haven't talked about it, but now I feel like it's spilled over into the mainstream news. And me talking about what comes out in a newspaper is fair game. That's not non-disclosure.
As a comedian, you're allowed to comment on current events.
Public domain.
That's right.
So I was fascinated to see that the head writer came out and said... And this guy apparently tried to suck a PA's dick, or he wanted to.
How many years were you there?
I was there for 2 years.
All right.
First 2 years. And this head writer was there at the time, and apparently he was soliciting blowjobs from people. Oh, no, he wanted to give them, which is an interesting dynamic. I would like to give you a blowjob.
Well, let's wait till the break, but keep going. Focus on Alan. We're kind of getting side as a side.
Gee, I wonder what today's musical sting is going to be at the end of the show.
I will say
he's
this.
He's flattered.
I will say it is a weird thing, and it's why me and Fitzdog are always going to be in trouble, because when someone goes, this guy was asking for blowjobs, and then they go, oh no, this guy was asking to give blowjobs. Either way, it's disgusting, and I'm like, there's a difference. Like, I remember one time. One of the most outraged producer Ann was on Loveline is a guy who was having sex with his dog. And it was like, oh. And then it's like, no, his dog was having sex with him.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's a difference. And,
oral and, or anal?
I think it may have been oral. The point is I remember kind of thinking, like, I draw a distinction between those two acts. And Ann was thoroughly disgusted one way or the other. They're both filed under disgusting. There's just a difference.
Yes. Well, this head writer then, when he was giving his comments on, as everybody knows what's going on with Ellen, there was three producers fired for sexual aggression and whatever. He said, the problem is that we're on a show where we're writing comedy, and, you know, in that comedy has an edge to it. You know what? I wrote it down because I had a feeling this would come up, and I wanted his exact quote, and I think it's important to not paraphrase something this important. He said, while my job as a head writer is to come up with jokes, and during that process, we can occasionally push the envelope, I'm horrified that some of my attempts at humor may have caused offense. Because I know in the 2 years I was there, that envelope, good luck to that envelope. It's going to be worn out. It's getting pushed.
Is Ellen now? Ellen, we
Ellen.
Found
here,
out.
I got a quick pitch for you. You know how fish, like, you go to a restaurant and they have the lobster in the tank for everybody to look at.
Mm-hmm.
What about a cow? You ever see a cow walking around between the tables? Let me punch that up in the restroom. Steve, PA Steve, meet me in the restroom and give me a sucky handy while I wrap my head around this premise.
Yeah. We figured out she was making $87 million a year.
Around there, yeah.
Around E5, there,
yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you want to keep that, pardon the pun, but that cash cow rolling along.
Right.
And speaking of that, I don't know, are you vegetarian? You're not vegan or vegetarian, are you? Because a big part of what I thought was a tell is when I did the show and they kept asking me not to talk about meat or beef or barbecue or something. And I kept saying, I wasn't planning on it. They're like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to upset Ellen.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, I don't know if that was a central theme over there. The whole, like, what if you just walked in and said, I got Arby's for everybody? Would that be an issue?
Again, this is going back to my experiences with the show, which I can't talk about because of the NDA, but I can say this. I would imagine when they were pitching bits more recently, and it was like, hey, Ellen, how come a paper towel goes around the roller, but the stack of napkins are flat? Hey, Jimmy, grab a couple of those napkins.
Meet me in the bathroom.
Meet me in the bathroom.
All right, so Fitz Dog, what are you you're podcasting, obviously, and are you doing, are you writing? Are you working on scripts? Are you working on stand-up? Is there sitcoms? What are we doing in the writing and the show creating department?
I sold a show to a network about a month ago. And then that particular network had all of the executives fired. And I was informed by my agent that the show is no longer. Because, you know, when a new set of executives come in, they don't want, no matter how good the idea is,
yes,
it's not theirs.
Right.
It's like in old, like, fables when the evil stepmom comes in and she hates the kids.
Right.
So so that went away. So now we're out trying to repitch that. And, and I got a sitcom idea that I'm going to be going out with all on Zoom in a few weeks.
All the pitches are on Zoom.
They're on Zoom. So you sit there and, you know, you have a deck. It's a big when you pitch shows, it used to be you just walked in the room, you explained it, try to make them laugh.
Right.
Flirt with the guys.
Right.
And now you have to have a deck. You have to have like a PowerPoint presentation of the show,
right,
with, you know, graphics and video. It's like, what am I, a fucking AV guy?
Right.
So I'm putting the whole deck together now.
But also, are we kind of realizing that we never needed to drive across town and sit at Sony or Apple or whatever's going on? I mean, you're on that side of town, but there's a version where you had to drive to Burbank and get in the room with and sit there. It's an idea. You know what I mean? It's an idea for a game show or a sitcom or something like that. Pretty easily expressed via Zoom. And unfortunately, you got to do the deck now, like the digital deck. Can you put anyone on that? Are your kids... My kids are 14, and they're getting just old enough to start being able to use them and not just be full liability 24/7,
yeah,
you know? So if you think about it, think about a kid. Like, a kid starts off as an infant that's just full-time liability. It's like clean them, feed them, take care of them, shelter them, burp them, you know, vaccinations, take them to the doctor. It's like a 100% full-time time suck. Or we know if you did it percentage-wise, that kid's taken up a lot of work, right? Okay, it's 100% in that direction. At some point in the olden days, the kid would be 9 years old, and you could tell him to go out and fetch the eggs and milk the cow.
Yeah.
And you still have to pay for their food, but it starts to balance it out a little bit. And then at some point, they get to 15, and they're like tilling soil and mending fences, and you're actually now getting free labor.
Yeah.
You have to make them some stew at night, but for the cost of stew, you're getting free labor. My kids, my daughter doesn't listen to me, but my son is kind of at that point where he has no skills and no work ethic, but I can go... Oh, I left my phone in the car. Go to my...
Yeah.
Like, he's now a pigeon.
Right.
Basically, I've trained him.
Right.
He's like a pigeon that speaks some English. And I can go to my car, get my shoes out of the car and bring them back to my office. And I'm not just sending him. But even that, there's a sense of like, oh, this worthless sack of this hole that I dump money into.
Yeah.
I can get like a half a penny back on my
$100. Right. Yeah.
And so can you get your kids to put these graphics together?
Well, no, actually my niece, Julia Gale, SUNY Oneonta, she's studying digital marketing. So she put together a bunch of Photoshops and stuff for me. She did an amazing job, did it faster than... And so her birthday was coming up. She just turned 21. So I sent her a gift card for $100 for her birthday. And me and my sister have a deal where we give each other's kids $30 for their birthdays.
Right.
And I got this angry call from my sister. What are you doing giving her $100? I go, well, she did some work for me. That's less than I would have paid somebody to do the same thing.
Right.
And she goes, no, you're fucking up the quote. The quote's 30.
Right. That's right.
So now I got somebody I don't have to pay.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I was talking to my sister the other day about our aunt and uncle, though they were our cousins, Vince and Pat Bruno, sending over a card that had slots in it for the nickel for every age, for every year you've been on the planet. So it's like you'd get the thing in the mail and it'd be like, you're 12, and now there's 12 nickels in there. And I just thought, if I gave that to my kids on their birthday, they would give me a prison style sock beating. They would take the they would take the greeting card with the nickels in it and put it in a tube sock and beat the shit out of me while I was asleep.
Right, right.
Could you imagine?
That's working. Yeah. That's working harder, not smarter. Because what was the postage like when you end up putting 15 nickels in inside an envelope?
Yeah, it's probably more than it costs.
Then what's inside?
You know, to be fair to Pat, she may have stepped up to dimes at some point, which is actually more, quite a bit more in the Corolla world, and saves on shipping as
That's right.
Yeah, smart. They're lighter. They're worth more. So by the fifth birthday, you're breaking even on the gift.
When's the last time you guys have done anything with change? Are we almost done with change right now?
I went to a place. That. Oh, sorry, Brian.
No, go ahead, man.
I just went to this place in Venice. I live in Venice Beach, and there's a place called Zinc. Z-I-N-Q.
Oh.
That pretty much sums up Zinc. A lot of guys dressed as Abe Lincoln walking in there. Women with babies with tattoos on their hands. And so
On the mom's hands. Yeah. Yeah, and the guys are going kind of...
No, the babies.
Guys are going like steampunk sort of look.
So I order a cup of coffee, and the guy brings it over. Well, first of all, I'm waiting for the guy forever, and he's polishing glasses like an old-timey barkeep, and I'm like waving at him, and he finally comes over like I don't mean anything. And that's how you feel when you get ignored. You start to... Your own feelings of self-worth start to come up, and you think, oh, he sees. He sees... So I get the coffee. It takes forever. He brings it over, and then he goes, that's $3.50. So I give him a $5. He walks away, and then I wait, and I flag him down. I go, I think I got some change coming. So he takes his time.
By the way, if you and your wife ever get divorced and you start dating again, save this story for the first date. Women, this is called a panty melter. This ain't a panty dropper. Exact change, being made whole again, not paying more than $4 for a cup of coffee. This is the kind of pragmatic thinking that a young gal likes to hear, especially out on the first date.
Let me tell you something. Tips are earned. I overtip and I undertip depending on the service.
I agree.
So the guy, so I wave him down and he comes back and he gives me $1 and he walks away. Stand there and I said, excuse me, I think I have more change coming. And he walks over and he looks at me and I'm not making this up. He goes, we don't do change here. And I literally repeated that three times while spinning in a circle to every customer. We don't do change. And then he just made me go, hold on. And he runs in the back and he comes back with two quarters like that. And I was like, thanks a lot, man.
I think we're...
Wow.
You should
have given
him the quarters.
You can't just announce you don't do change.
Well, if you don't do change, shouldn't you round up? How did you become the winner in round off?
Where's he at with hope? But here's my thing. I'm willing to live in a society where we cut it off at 50 cents. Now, I'm willing to live in a society where there's no more 33 cents change. Like, I will cut it at 50. I won't cut it at $1, but I could cut it. I could cut it at 50.
And like, they get the 33 or the 50?
Whatever direction it should go, you know, we'll either round up or we'll round down. But I'm now wanting to deal with bills and quarters. I don't know. Pennies, dimes and nickels, I'm done with. Quarter still has something involving a parking meter, I guess, sometimes, or something of that nature. Could we agree on a society that is just quarters and splitting the buck in half?
I know that they say that if McDonald's were to charge something like 2 cents more per burger, they could give their employees $15 an hour. So
really?
Those pennies, I guess, add up.
Well, for them, for sure. I'm actually just kind of done with change. First off, it makes your hands smell weird sometimes.
Yeah, it's filthy.
Also, it's filthy. Not that I care about that. It's just kind of weird. It's a fomite, I guess, as Drew would say. And then also, I find it gathering up in my car, and there's nothing I can do with it. And we used to live in a time when it meant something to the kids, right?
Yes.
Where you could go
rooting through the change
take
jar.
That ashtray and get one of those separator things where you drop it in and it separates the nickels from the dimes and all that kind of stuff. Now, you can't bribe a kid with change. You can't entice a kid with change. There's no anything. If you give it to a homeless guy, he's just going to grab a handful of hepatitis and punch you in the face. Like, when's the last time anyone gave a homeless guy a quarter? You're going to get beaten. You're going to get clocked with a brick.
Yeah, they want paper.
Yeah, they want paper. So maybe it's time. Yeah.
And little kid, first of all, you're saying this at a perfect time because there's a change shortage. So maybe we should just give it up. But little kids are absolutely indoctrinated into swiping and apps. When we play store with the 5-year-old and he's in charge of the store, he doesn't say, like, give me your money. He says, give me your card. And he goes, do, do, do. And swipe. There's no cash register. There's no make-believe money exchange. He doesn't see it. It doesn't exist.
Max Apatis read the Yelp review on Zinc, and they complain about the no change policy.
Oh, is that right? For you.
Yes, yeah. Someone else also had the same thing, saying that if I'm owed 98 cents, they just keep it. This place is the worst. I don't recommend it. And the business owner said, we would never do that, especially Roundup. We are not sure why you would have this impression.
So
might have been like a server thing.
Yeah,
there was an angry bald man yelling about change just the other day.
I do like when something happens to you and you go, I don't know where you got this impression.
Yeah.
Well, it's based on it happening to me. That's,
and other people.
And other people. Right. That's kind of how I roll.
Yeah.
That's otherwise, I would be an insane person. Because otherwise, it'd be you just peeling off the dollars and giving it back to me or giving me my change back to me. And then I would be an insane person.
No, what I do is I sit in my garage before I come on the Adam Carolla show. And I come up with crazy scenarios. Then I pick a business and I just run with it.
That's right. That's right. I do. There's some of my favorite parts of life. I'm really obsessed with the part of life where the business tells you what you said, like where you go, hey, man, I asked for no mayo on this club sandwich and it's got a lot of mayo. Oh, you said extra mayo. Okay, well, then I'm insane because I don't like mayo. But what a difficult life I must have, right? If I just walk around and I'm allergic to mayonnaise, but I just ask for extra mayonnaise.
Of what you want.
Seems very curious. Yeah. And also, what a frustrating life. Like, I just like to gaslight people by going, hey, I said no mayo. Now take this back and spit in it and I'll watch my friends eat.
Yeah.
Like, what's it? I once, many, many years ago, I haven't told this story in a million years, but a million years ago, I had like an old used tuxedo that I bought at like a thrift store. And it was kind of a beaten on tuxedo, but it looked good enough. But the buttons were all kind of screwed up on it. It was a black tuxedo, like a double-breasted tuxedo. So I took it to a place near my apartment in North Hollywood, just a little Monpa kind of tailor shop. And I said, could you replace the buttons on it and clean it and whatever? And they did all that stuff. And they handed it back to me in one of those plastic bags with the hanger, you know, like the dry cleaner. And I just took it and hung it up in my closet. I didn't inspect it. And then about 6 months later, there was some event, some formal whatever, and I got out my tuxedo, and as in the nautical theme, it had brass buttons with anchors on it, like it was a blazer, like I was Thurston Howell III.
Captain Kangaroo.
Right.
Meanwhile, it's your aunt's funeral.
Yeah, it was literally brass buttons with anchors on it. So I was like, ugh. They need to put on black buttons. So I went back to the place and I'm like, hey, I dropped this off. It's been a number of months. I didn't get a chance to look at it, but you sewed on these brass buttons with anchors on. I need you to remove them and put the black buttons on. And they're like, we didn't put those on. And I'm like, okay, that makes me the worst person in the world then.
Yeah.
That makes me not insane, but sort of criminally insane, right? I just walk into random businesses and I go, I want my tuxedo fixed for free. So I'm going to accuse this person. And then there's always the tell where they go, look, we didn't do that, but we'll fix it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Oh, well, if you didn't do it, you know, stand by it.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
But all that, like if somebody said, hey, the garage window's busted my garage because you threw a pomegranate at it. And I wasn't even home that weekend. I wouldn't go, but I'll tell you what, I'll pay for that. Yeah. You know, it's like, I'd be like, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think. So the guy goes, okay, we'll fix it and I'll just charge you half price. And I was like, I know that sounds like you're giving me a deal, but you got to look at it from my point of view. I paid full price. You sewed on brass buttons, and now you want me to pay 50% more to undo what you did.
Yeah.
Yes. And the guy kept going, but eventually they go, all right, we'll fix it. And that's basically them just going, we did do it. We're just trying to talk you out of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know who's notorious for that anecdotally, where I think it's, I really do believe it's a conspiracy that this is what they tell them to do? Airbnb, which I use, you know, I'm a frequent user. And if there's ever a problem, it doesn't matter what country you're in, doesn't matter what city you're in. If you have a problem, from my experience, three times I've had a problem with my stay while I'm there. And all these people who do not know each other, Costa Rica, Palm Springs, wherever, they all say, well, we'll give you a discount on your next visit. I go, yeah. But I'm here now. Why would I come back to a place with no air conditioning or a broken refrigerator?
Yeah.
Brian,
my first apartment out of college was, of course, a shitty apartment, and sharing it with a couple of roommates. And in LA, at least, I'm not sure if this is the way around the world, but you know you're in a shitty apartment when the landlord is his own handyman, so as to save $50 every time, you know, every time something goes wrong, he just comes over and starts wrenching on something. And in my apartment, they had the accordion style, you know, very cheap closet doors.
Yeah.
And so one of them came off the rail. I was, of course, those always do, and completely collapsed. So I'm like, the guy's name is Monum. I said, hey, Monum, can you get this fixed? He showed up an hour later with his tools. And he reattached it upside down. It's like the handle was like here and then down here.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, Monum, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but you hung it upside down. His response was, Brian, you told me to. I'm like, ah, yes, that's exactly what I do. I told you to hang it upside down just to change things up.
Well, can I? All right. I'm shot out of a candidate because I just had this happen and people can't do the math on it, but let's do the math on it. I just talked to another guy who works for me at the other shop, and I just came walking into the shop, and there's this part I've been working on the back of the Porsches. It was a Newman Porsche. He drove at Sebring in 77, blah, blah, blah. And there's a big piece. It's a big grill. It's a big plastic grill, and it sits on the back of the Porsche on the wing. It's 3 feet long and 14 inches wide, and I've been wanting to get it done and get it back on the car for a long time. And I walked in and I looked at it and it was painted flat black. And flat black is just looks like primer. It's flat. It looks chalky.
Almost. Is it cool like matte or is it just like
flat?
Before?
Just flat, looks like a barbecue, like a flat barbecue, like a stovepipe. It's just flat. It's chalky looking. And everything else on the car is painted satin. So I said, what's up with this? Why is this thing flat black? And he said, why do we use flat black? Why are we painting it satin black? I don't get it. We have a bunch of satin paint. It doesn't match a car. It doesn't look right. And he said, Jose said, you said paint it black. And I said, I never said that. And they go, that's what you said. And this is getting back to you. This is the mayo. This is the closet door. This is me. If I didn't want it this way, why would I say it?
Right.
Like, why would you say, hang this door upside down, I'm dating a dwarf, and then at some point when he's finished, walk in and go, the door's upside down.
Yeah.
And if I said, paint it flat black, then why would I walk in the next day and go, why the fuck is this flat black? And if I said, no mayo, why would I go, why is there mayo? Wouldn't this be what I asked? Don't we all go through this all day, every day? Like, don't you ask for things and then you get it? You don't go back and undo what you said. This notion of you ask for this thing you don't want is very flawed.
And then they do the passive aggressive thing where they go, Okay, no problem. You ordered mayo, but let me go ahead and change that for you. That's no problem. Right. It's like, no, I need also for you to admit that you fucked up. You know, or I can't enjoy the sandwich.
You know what the number one answer is, Brian, which I've gone through a million times where I say to somebody, why, if everything on the car is satin black, why would I ask you to paint it flat black?
That's
number
what
one
I
answer,
said.
They go, I don't know. That's what you said. And then I always go, okay, but let's just say I said, take the crown molding and put it on the floor and use it for baseboard. Isn't it your job if, in fact, that's what I said to go, hold on, boss, this seems pretty queer to me. You want to take the crown molding and put it on the base? Like, why not? When Brian asked the guy to hang the closet door upside down, why didn't that guy say, why do you want it upside down?
Yeah, it's not going to match the other side. Why wasn't there two rounds of questions? Yeah. Like, yes. Really? You want that?
Yes. Yeah. So my point is you never said it, because if you did say it, that would be the response. Like, mm-hmm. I've worked on enough people's houses, and if they said something a little kooky, I would always go, oh, here's why that's not going to work, or here's why we're going to do it in this order. I wouldn't go, okay, that's what he said. And the number one answer is when someone does something insane, they go, you go, why would I say that? They go, I don't know. Why did you say?
Not even, I don't know. Just, I don't know, like.
You said it.
You said it, done.
Again, you didn't, you, like, it'd be like you saying, I said I wanted to fly outside of the airplane, or something like that. It's like, if someone would stop you and go, what, you do?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not a good idea. If, yeah. in fact, you actually said something like, paint it flat black, or hang it upside down, they would stop and say something.
There's a bike shop around the corner from me on Lincoln Boulevard, and it's this little shop. I'm fairly convinced they sell drugs, and the bike shop's the front. And I go in, and
is it bikes with a Z?
It's bikes with a Z. And I go in, and I ask them for a bike lock, and they give me a bike lock, and I put it on, and then it won't come off. It's on my bike. I got to carry my bike in. And I go, this lock is broken.
The key doesn't work? Or the
key doesn't work.
Right.
I go, the lock is broken. And he looks at it and he goes, we don't sell these.
That's my favorite part.
Some sucker took the last one.
I was just like, look, man, I try to support local businesses. I go, right. There's all these big bike shops down the street. I go, I come here because you're local and I want to make sure you stay in business. And then he got some oil and he got it fixed. But that was good.
I do like when the first salvo is always buzz off, like when you come in and you go, hey, man, and they go, we don't. And they just try to. The first one is like, I'm going to see if I can take a customer and shoo them away. That's number one. Number two, as I always say, if you bought this bike lock on Amazon, put it on your bike, it malfunctioned. Or if I got my brass anchor buttons on Amazon, sewed them on myself, decided I didn't like them anymore, and went to my place, and Fitzdog went to the Monpa corner place and said, I'm going to dupe these guys into giving me a free kryptonite lock. Wouldn't that make you the worst person in the world?
Right.
Wouldn't that make you horrible? Like, can't they size you up as you're walking in? You know what I mean? Do you look like an escaped mental patient who's financially destitute, or can? And also, wouldn't you have a recollection of I bought it here? Like that's the insane part too.
Yeah, and I'm local. The locals should take care. I got my zinc T-shirt on. You know, he should know.
Dr. Drew says take 50 milligrams of zinc. All right, let me hit Bet Online here. NBA, NHL playoffs are up and running. Bet Online has you covered. You get in on all the action, including NBA playoffs. They have a NBA playoffs bracket contest as well. MLB continues through the summer as well. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. Bet Online has hundreds of odds, futures, and prop bets to bet on as well. Plus, their casino never closes. So head to their website, do it today, sign up, and receive your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1. There's probably some good UFC fights coming up and some good boxing stuff coming up as well, so get in on some of that action. Don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus today. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the news with Fitz Dog right after this.